The following podcast is a production of ART Studios and the El Paso Community College Department of Art, El Paso, Texas. Welcome to ART Studios. In this series of podcasts titled Exhibition is Scholarship, we visit with the Spring 2023 Student Art Show Award winners. We discover how student artists approach their art, what inspires them, and how they are preparing for a creative future.
Hi, my name is Adrian Aguirre. I had the honor of coordinating the student show at EPCC, and I'll be talking with some of the award winners and asking them questions about their work and their background and how they approach art. Hey Jason, so just want to start with thanking you for joining me in this podcast, and also to congratulate you for winning the best in show. So that's awesome. You have a great painting, and it's a self-portrait. So I have a list of questions for you, but you know, we can deviate as we go. So I'm going to start off by asking you to tell me a little bit about yourself, your background.
Yeah, so I grew up in Kentucky. So there I had multiple experiences. But the main thing is I was supported by my parents in the arts. So there's like a story of how I got into the arts and how things moved into college and all that stuff. But the main thing is strong parents believing in me. I had good art teachers in the public art departments in middle school and high school. And just that really creative mindset and support around there. Of course, there was a lot of naysayers that would say, hey, don't do arts. You'll be a starving artist. And then like I just remember early criticisms when I was a child where people would just make fun of me because while you're drawing these pictures, and then teachers saying, hey, you need to be paying attention in class instead of drawing pictures and those type of things. And then fast forwarding, my undergrad is in graphic design there at UTEP. And I did a lot of my private work within commercial and graphic design fields and advertising within the area. And it moved into web and multimedia and continue to do work for the government in those areas and using those skill sets to solve problems of all different natures. And so that's kind of like a gist. I don't know how deep to go into, but.
No, that's great. And that's really nice that you had people supporting you. I think that's very important.
Yes.
Because it's going into art is difficult. There's a lot of, like you said, naysayers and, you know, financial struggles and all these things. And so it takes a lot of courage and a lot of passion to continue doing that.
Yes.
So I heard you mention a little bit about how you started making art. And, you know, I saw a lot of correlation in with me because I also have a degree in graphic design. That's how I started. And also that I would also always draw and doodle in any class. You know, that's how I would pay attention. And was that like that for you? Like, that's how you're able to concentrate and listen is through drawing?
It was a little bit different for me because I was, like during the class, I would see things because anything abstract, I see pictures of. Like even when I was going through algebra and things like that, I would see the math problem as shapes or pictures it was something that made sense to me visually. And I think that's what made math easy for me in that sense.
Okay.
So I know for my son, it's more he'll use that. And he's highly attentive. Just he could be doing anything, and you ask him word for word, and he can tell you word for word. So some of that is flowed through the genes, but so it's just different ways of using art and seeing things in the classroom and expressing that.
Cool. So you, the work that I saw in the show is a painting. Is that how you what you normally do, or is that what are what's your art like? I haven't seen your other pieces.
Got you. Like in the my early stages, early years, I did a lot of airbrush, and I've always done a lot of realism, surrealism throughout the years, and even the one in the show was again like touching, kind of reawakening the realism because I got away with away from making paintings and just doing graphic design for almost 20 years. So coming back to it was kind of like a rebirth or resurrection of something I let die for many years. And so that is representative of like the representational work that I do and kind of like the different symbolic things that I use to kind of help communicate some things and kind of add the mystique, if you will. But I also do I've got into a lot more abstract work, especially in this last semester at EPCC, and just asked my professor, "Hey, I already know how to do this representational thing. I need you to push me where I don't feel comfortable going." And so that's what was real helpful for me to kind of push through the whole opposite direction. If I was all the way on this side, making things look perfect, and then going to things that maybe go back to that classroom experience where I was seeing the abstract and drawing that in the classroom to help me make sense of things that like the other kids couldn't understand with words. And so it's kind of like a way of processing that. I'll add an interesting thing. Like at the very beginning, my mom tells me when I got started, of course, I grew up poor. So since she couldn't afford paper, she would go to the what do you call it, the grocery stores back then and get the paper bags and then cut the edges off so I'd have sheets of paper to draw on. And then the same thing with pencils. We'd follow wherever they did pencil fights and things like that, pick up the broken pencils, tape them back together, sharpen them, and then those became my how I funded my art tools at a young age. So just the I say economical sense of my mom, the business sense of finding the things, finding the ways to support what I wanted to do.
That's an inspiring story. Tell me a little bit about the work that you've entered into the show. It's a self portrait, but it's not you're not just standing there. You're swimming in water. So what's the story behind that?
Well, this one is kind of representing in a very important time. It's kind of like a death and resurrection, kind of how I was alluding to before, because I spent many years as a pastor, because that was one of the reasons I gave up art, because there's some religious people that told me that, well, art you can't use, and that's not spiritual, and you need to go this other path. And so I, like Vincent van Gogh, I went down this other path for many years. I was able to help people, but it wasn't satisfying because that's not what I was put on earth to do. And so that's what's representing that sunken ship underneath the waters below, because there's a Hebraic concept of there's waters above and then there's waters below. And both of these are dealing with spiritual waters. And so and the waters below are usually the chaos, and if you read the Epic of Gilgamesh and all of that, and the different creation stories, you'll see that the waters below are usually chaotic, and people die there, and a lot of bad things happen. And then there's the waters above that's usually like a peaceful, has light and energy and life and all that coming through. And so it kind of has me in the middle in this transition from what I gave up. As funny as like I gave up art to do this religious thing, and then I had to give up the religious thing to come back to art and come back to who I really was. And so that's why you kind of see like in the background of my left hand going backwards is kind of like the Bible I was trained in, Greek and Hebrew and all the languages, and knew everything and every little dot of everything, and could teach it to people. And it kind of has that letter, the Hebrew letter Aleph, which is kind of representative of that classically trained by the book way of learning. And then shifting to my right hand where I'm holding the paintbrush, and the paintbrush also has a bud on there, and it kind of represents the fruitfulness of art and how art creates life and things like that. And then I also represented the Lamed, which is the another letter in Hebrew that represents the learning by experience and experiential learning. So it's two different ways of learning, and one definitely has more life because it's relational. And so, and you can also see in the hand with the paintbrush is kind of like a blueprint. So it's kind of like saying, as I'm creating, I am still being created in the process. So it's kind of like as you give life, you get life, you grow, and all the experiences of life continue to make who you are and continue to inform your work and life and everything like that. And then that the tie between all of that is that Milky Way galaxy going in between, and just kind of reminding me and the viewer that we are all part of something much bigger than we can even fathom and understand. We really don't know cognitively what the universe means. We have pictures, we have scientific things written in books, but do you know what a million miles feels like? Like, I don't. I know what 2,000 miles feels like because that's the distance between El Paso and Kentucky. So, like, but some of these numbers you don't know. And so art kind of helps you maybe have that comfort of knowing because you've seen it, even though you haven't experienced it. But then it kind of comes back that you're by seeing, I would argue that you are experiencing it, or at least your spirit knows what's going on, or your soul knows what's going on, because I believe it's been there. It's connected to the greater things that people don't really understand or comprehend. And so it's just kind of like encouraging to push through that. And anything we do, whether it be visual art or dance or music, poetry, whatever that is, push forward and help other people see what they can't see on their own.
And that's incredible. There's a lot of, I knew that there was a story behind the painting, but, and you know, there's a lot in that painting, and it's given me some new appreciation of what it means. I'm not very familiar with spiritual art. But one of my favorite artists is James Turrell. I don't know if you know him. His work is not representational, but he works with light and color and the environment. But you feel very connected to the transcendental.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's important. I think it would be very naive for us to think that we are the only things that matter, or the only beings, the only anything. And I think it would just be very crude to think that way, because we just know on this earth there's so much diversity. So how much more that what we can see, how much more that we can't see that's out there. But there's a lot of stuff you can feel. Like you can feel, like you said, when you see a painting, and then if you spend time and meditate on that painting, where it starts going into you, and then you're like, or a beautiful musician, and you don't know why you're crying, but there's something spiritual that's coming out of them that's talking to your spirit, even though your brain doesn't know what's going on. You're just like, I don't know what's happening to me. So it's just that powerful thing that the invisible is stronger than the visible, but we just have ignored it, at least since the 1700s when we exchanged the spiritual for the scientific. But now I think with quantum physics and everything, we're finally coming back full circle to where we began, which everything was spiritual connected. Everything we made, we had connection with earth and sky, water, fire. And now I think we're finally coming back to that, and doing sustainable art and different things like that. But it's just funny how we kind of leave and then we come back.
It's very true. I think You mentioned that you were dabbling into abstraction and that was a challenge for you. Were there any artists that you were looking at? I feel like, you know, there's a lot of history with spirituality and abstraction. So I'm just curious to hear what your thoughts were on that, and if you felt like maybe abstraction has a different connection to the spiritual, more than representation. If there's any artists that you were, any specific artists that you were looking at.
Yes. So in my young days, I started looking at Georgia O'Keeffe and kind of seeing how she was doing subtle transitions into abstraction, and then pushing it further, looking at Arshile Gorky and just kind of seeing how he was handling his works. And then I looked at all the different abstractionists, but I kind of liked how he was his was still hinting at some graphic elements. So it kind of felt like there's a connection between him and graphic design and abstraction and the spiritual. So when I'm working representationally, I'm very restricted because I know that the nose has to be exactly this length, the eyes have to be this, and it has to be positioned exactly where it needs to be if I'm not going to make them look like they're deformed or anything, just because just understanding how our mind works and how our mind reads faces and things like that. We know we have like excellent facial recognition and things like that. So it's very restrictive and very tight and very mathematical in that sense, where the spirit is all about freedom. It's all about flow. And I don't know if you've studied flow theory or read any of that, but it's all about a connection, because every artist goes into a state of flow about 30 minutes into their work. We may not call it flow, we call it in the zone or whatever. And programmers, when I was doing computer programming, same thing. You start coding and you get into a flow and everything else quiets around you. And it's just you and your code or you and your piece. And so the same, when you get in flow state the abstract, you're not using your left brain trying to calculate everything. You're just staying in your right brain, your R mode, and just letting the flow from your heart go through your arm into your hand and into whatever tool you're using. And then you're just flowing and making contact with the canvas. And just as you're feeling or as you're seeing in your mind's eye, your imagination, and just letting it come out and not worried about making mistakes, because the spirit is not about error. It's about love and forgiveness. So when you're in that state, there are no mistakes. There is no screwing up. It's just every mark you're making is kind of recording a pathway or a history that you've been, that others can kind of follow through and relate to. And so in that case, it's a building up of multiple mark makings and flipping your painting upside down, and it's hard for an analytical thinker to shift to that side, because there is a million rules in our brains that say that's wrong and you're messing up. And now who's really controlling your hand? It's not like, it's not automatic painting. I'm still aware of what I'm doing, but it's more of I'm partnering with the spiritual to be able to express what's unseen and leave the marks of the unseen on a canvas using paint. So it's kind of like you are making that artifact, that historical piece, but it's a divine dance, if you will, and that collaboration, that partnership. And so you are doing what the spiritual can't do, because the spiritual can't be seen. So we as human beings are the only unique creatures, I believe, that can cross that dimension and bring something spiritual into the physical like no other creature on this earth. So that's kind of how I approach making it or moving into the abstract. But it was very hard, and that cognitive dissonance that people go through, and it was work. But once I got through it, and it was progressive, So I went from representational to a little bit abstraction, then a little bit more, and then finally full abstraction. So I wasn't able to jump straight into it, but it's kind of like a process and a maturing of myself, if you will.
I see, yeah. I find myself, you know, whenever I try to do abstraction, I think like I always go back to the rules that I've learned, you know. This is how you render about like light and shadow and trying to make things make sense in three dimensions. And I think that always gets in the way of for me. No, yeah, I can totally see that. For you, I think are you interested in, you know, geometric abstraction or more like expressionism? When you talked about that flow, it almost sounded like you were interested in making the gestures and, you know, that action painting. Yes. So what are you leaning towards?
So I'm informed by geometry and sacred geometry and things like that, and understanding that and the complexity of our universe and how everything's connected and seeing the world as a network, just like the World Wide Web and how we're all connected. And there's always these beautiful, I know when I used to work in a gallery, we sold these light paintings of the earth from overhead, and you could see all the lights for all the big cities connecting the world. And so from that perspective, that kind of influences me on that. But the abstraction I've done most recently, it's been more expressionism, because there's something about painting standing up, using your full body, because I did do dance for many years as well. And there's something about that the full body expression, even drawing from the full body, there's something that can come from your gut, if you will, and all through your body. And it just does something different from being restricted, elbow locked down to a table and having a pencil in hand and making these very precise movements versus doing full expression. And so I've painted a lot with my eyes closed to kind of help turn off my brain and tell it to stop interfering. And I've been surprised every time, because even when I do that, when I'm done, I will see a shape that's representational. So it's this weird thing where you're like, you're letting the full, so it's almost magical, if you will. So you're letting everything go, but it still ends up being right, if you will. I know I have plans to kind of do some more stuff that's geometrical and kind of play on that side, because the main thing is I like exploring different things and looking at different ways to solve problems, growing and all that, because no matter what I do or whatever I try, I know it always informs the work I do. So you'll see influences of even my calligraphy marks or my graffiti marks and different things, because I do a lot of graffiti in my young days, so t-shirts and murals and things like that. So that all influences. So it's about the energy of the mark making. And so to kind of let the electricity flow through my hand, and then you can kind of see the shaking and the movement. So it has that life, that heartbeat, if you will, that comes through. Because I think I could get in a trap by going straight geometric, because I would be trying to make triangles and polygons and things like that and make sure that it looks perfect or whatever. So I haven't tried it yet. I'm thinking in my head it might come out in some of my marks as an organic geometry, if you will, kind of like a spider web or something like that. And so I'm just interested in seeing what comes out and keep pushing. That's a good question. Hopefully I answered it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I'm also reminded a little bit about your experience with graphic design, and it sounded like you had done that for, I think, 20 years. Is that what you said? Or for a while? So I was thinking, like, how is, you know, that experience, how is that informing your practice? Like with graphic design, a lot of it is digital nowadays, you know, everything is through computers. But there's the foundation of, you know, this is what makes a good design. balance, order, those sort of things. So how does that mix with your fine artwork?
The main thing graphic design taught me was solving problems, compositions, seeing the overall connectivity, the Dassault theory, and how all of that works, and the repetition. And so it gave me a very foundational structural architecture, if you will, to approach all my art with. And the main thing in graphic design is it has to communicate. And so so art no longer becomes art for art's sake, but it's art that communicates a message to somebody, not to preach to them, not to try to sway them anyway, but to make sure that I'm clearly communicating what I'm trying to communicate effectively to the viewer. And so a lot of my graphic design work I did with grabbing an ink dauber, and I would draw out my design in ink and then go ahead and scan it in and vectorize it and then start adding color and things like that. So a lot of my work always had a hand feel, that hand connection to it. And that's what really, that's the work I like doing. And then, of course, in the commercial world, you kind of get forced into a corner, if you will, and you get real corporate. And that's when I stepped away from the advertising marketing and went into multimedia as a creative director. And then from there, it kind of went back to even in the web that I was doing. It had a real organic feel. I just approached it in a very artistic way versus a minimalistic or a very mechanical way.
So are you still doing design multimedia?
Yes. And so I don't do a lot of it now. Like, my position is more managerial. So I kind of oversee and a team. And then I also work with like an educational team. And then I also have a multimedia team. And I get called back and forth between the two, like helping the educational team with different instructional design practices. And then the multimedia team, if they have certain programming problems or there's whether it's figuring out the right JavaScript approach or whatever they're doing, and kind of basically help them solve the problems. Like, how could they do it in CSS? How can I do it in HTML5? Just kind of helping them think bigger, because I know sometimes people get set to a certain tool set or just one language or just one type of code, versus kind of looking at the different frameworks and the different changes and things like that. So it stays fresh. So I don't do a lot of it by my own hands anymore, but I'm still working with a team of coders and computer scientists and kind of throwing ideas back and forth on different multimedia approaches.
Okay, cool. Very cool. I teach part-time, but my full-time job is in multimedia. And I work at the Learning Games Lab at New Mexico State University. So it sounds very similar.
Yes.
With working with instructional designers and programmers. That's very cool. What are your plans for the future? What are your, this last semester you were working with abstraction. Is that something you want to keep doing, or what's the next steps for you?
I am excited about being born in this time. It's the best time for technology. The first time ever the world has been completely connected by digital devices. So, and it doesn't matter how poor or rich you are, everybody has a phone. And that's what's amazing, and everybody's connected for that. And then what that connectedness has done is brought all of the information together and understanding. And so I'm excited about how the science and the world connectedness and everything moving forward, this new generation that's coming up, this more open-minded and positive, if you will, about the future, and just being a part of that with my art and kind of continuing to push forward, pushing myself. And that's what my kids helped me do that, and kind of keep pushing me forward and encouraging me. So I just want to keep making art and start getting into selling my art, selling originals and prints. Right now I'm working on my website. It's funny, the old saying that the plumber's plumbing never works in his house. I'm a web developer and I don't have a website right now. It's just, it's hard kind of thinking into the art side of it and, okay, what do I want my website to say as an artist? And trying to go forward in that. So I do want to keep making, pushing abstraction and kind of seeing how those can swing back and forth, because I don't want to lock myself into a box. So I think there's a shift between the abstract landscape and portraiture type representational things that I can kind of ebb and flow between and let them inform each other. And I'd also like to take a printmaking class. I know we got to do that in my first degree, just to kind of see how that again informs the way I handle things, because I think that's a skill set that would be very important to kind of help that. And then maybe eventually look at going back and get my MFA. Now that I've got my kids out of the house and they're all doing well, and can kind of, and it'd just be more doing it for myself, whether or not go back and teach. I just would like to have that completion of my master's in education, but want to have that MFA in art just to have that full understanding, and then see where that, how that informs my art as well, and maybe do some teaching, whether or not online or through Teachable or whatever, or in person, and just kind of, I'm about sharing my knowledge with others and helping that next generation, encouraging people, especially kids that grew up minority households, things like that, where maybe they don't get the encouragement that they should, because I know, like in a lot of minority groups, that the art is not really encouraged in general, and it's mainly just get a job and survive. And like, no one wants to live their life surviving. They want to live their life thriving. And if I can encourage people to do that, show them how, different tricks of the trade, then I think that'd be very helpful, because like, I've never been a starving artist. The longest I've been without a job in my entire life was 2 weeks. And so, and I make pretty good money. So, so if anybody's out there that's may not know if they're going to make it, like, yes, you can get pretty close to six figures if you just keep in there, keep fighting, and use the tools that art gives you to solve multiple problems. So maybe you might have to do other things than just do your work, your artwork, but that doing those other things will give you time to do your artwork. And then eventually I'd like to move full time and just do my art. So just kind of, there's different paths that everybody takes, and I know that we can all get there. And just with, by that encouragement, the community aspect is very important. So I think I jumped around, but hopefully I answered it correctly.
No, that's great. I think it's it's wonderful that you want to go back and teach. I think that's, you know, as somebody who has the privilege of teaching, I think it's very inspiring, and it's very, you know, it's very gratifying. And and yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, communities and people that are just, you know, and it's understandable, because, you know, this, in this world, it's hard to survive, you know, it's not easy. And I got that as a, you know, growing up, that, you know, go be a lawyer, go be an engineer or something, you know? Yeah. So I think it's voices like you, where you encourage people and tell people, hey, you can still make a living doing what you want to do. And then not just telling them that, but showing them how. Well, Jason, I really appreciated you talking to me today, and I found it really inspiring and very interesting. I think it's you have a lot of great things to say and a lot of things that you can share with the world. So thank you.
Thank you.